Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you that we can be here. Thank you for the sunshine outside, and thank you for your mercy that is with us and your truth that we can look into here this morning. I just pray that your word would be blessed to us today and that we would be encouraged and challenged through the things that we look at. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Guess for title, I'll just have 1 Peter chapter 2 because that's what I'm going to be working through today. Guess I'll read the chapter and then we'll go through the verses and sections. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it, if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. So, going through this chapter, first verse talks about things that we need to lay aside if we want to be able to grow spiritually. It talks about malice or ill will and guile. We could say deceitfulness would be a definition for that, I think. Hypocrisy, pretending to be something that you're not. Envies, jealousy, and all evil speakings. So, speaking poorly of others or speaking, saying things that aren't nice. These things are to be laid aside if, in verse 2, it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So, if we have begun to experience the goodness of God, we must have a passion for the word of God in order to grow. Verses 4 through 8. It talks here about being part of a building with Christ here in verse 4 and 5. We come to Christ as the living stone. Verse 5, we also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house with him. So, verse 6, 7, and 8 talk about Christ as the cornerstone that all of the stones are laid in relation to. So, I thought that was really interesting, the comparison to us as a building here and other places it talks about us being parts of the body and Christ being the head of the body. And so I think that's just one more comparison of us being built up with him as the head or the chief cornerstone. It implies that there's a complete building or a complete body when that happens. In verse 5, it says it talks about our purpose here. We are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It talks more about those sacrifices or the purpose that we have in the next verses we'll look at. Before that, let's see. Verse 6, it says, if we believe in Christ, we will not be brought to shame. The world may mock and scorn us, but it doesn't change who Christ is or what he's done for us. Verse 7 and 8, to those of us who believe in Christ and have committed our lives to him, he is the most precious thing to us. We could never be righteous before God except through his sacrifice. But those who are disobedient to the word are shown by the word the error of their ways, that they are in condemnation. In verses 9 through 12, these verses talk about our purpose and the sacrifice our lives are supposed to be. That I was referring to from verse 5 there. Verse 9 says, we are called to show forth the praises of God. Verse 10 says, we are to abstain from fleshly lusts. Verse 12, we're to live honestly among the people of the world. I think it talks about there is having a conversation honest among the Gentiles. And it talks about there that by our good works that they would glorify God. So our lives are to show a pattern of good works. verses 13 through 20 talk about how we're to relate to others towards all men. It says in verse 17, it says honor all men. But verse 13, we are to put ourselves in obedience to every ordinance created by man for the Lord's sake, to the king, or I think we could say the president, as being superior or in a superior position to us. Verse 14, we are to be subject to governors, or as the verse suggests, is law enforcement, as their office is to punish those who do wrong and commend those who do well. Verse 15, I'd like to read 12 and 15 together. I think they go together well. It says, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. We're to live above reproach, or in accordance to the law, so that no one can speak against us as lawbreakers. Verse 16, as free, but not using our liberty as a covering for ill will or evil, but as freedom to serve God. Verse 17, we are to honor all men, reverence God, and honor the ruler of the land that we live in. Verse 18, I don't really know how to interpret this verse for us today, because we don't see the role of servants and masters in this country very much, I don't think. But it does speak clearly how servants are supposed to relate to masters, submission to them. Verses 19 and 20. It is pleasing to God if we go through and endure difficulty or sorrow that we do not deserve to bear, in order that our conscience may be clear before God. This in no way means that God wants us to suffer wrongfully, but that living righteously before God is of primary importance, and that it is not acceptable to compromise because of the way that we are treated by others. It says that it only makes sense, if we are beaten for our wrongdoing, that we take it patiently. But if we do what is right, even though we suffer for doing so, it is well-pleasing to God. This is exactly what Christ bore for us, even to the point of dying on the cross. And the next verses talk about that, what Christ has done, and the example that he's left for us to follow. Verse 21 says, we are to. It says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. So I think that we will have suffering in this life, and that it can be expected, but we have Christ our King as our example in that. There's victory in that. Verse 22, he didn't sin in his actions or in his speech. Verse 23, when he was insulted, he did not return insults. When he suffered affliction, he did not threaten to retaliate, but committed himself to God who judges righteously. Verse 24, he bore our sins alone in his own body on the cross, that we, being dead to sins or made free from sins, should live in righteousness. By his wounds we are healed. Verse 25, each one of us were as sheep straying away from the safety of the shepherd, but through Christ's blood we can or have returned to Christ, the shepherd and overseer of our souls. So I was encouraged by this chapter, and I'm just so thankful for God's word, and hope it's encouraging and challenging to you as it has been to me as I looked over this chapter. God bless.